I don't think I've heard the description.
So the house is, I don't know what, folks, like 15, 20 minutes from here, from the Palo Alto Zen Center? Something like that. It's down toward, it's in Los Altos, down towards Mountain View, that area of things. It's on the one side, it's on a very quiet street. On the other side, it's on a quite a busy street, but it has like a sound wall in the backyard. Let's see. It's just a really, it's a perfect, I mean, it's a house. It's a residential house, but it's really, for some reason, it just has a perfect sort of layout and feel to it to be a Zen center. And it's, finding it sort of had us change our thinking about, you know, originally we were thinking we'd get either a very large place and have people rent places within it, sort of like we are here, or get, you know, a small sort of modest place that would just be a Zen center. And this is sort of in between those two. What we realized was this is a really good chance to put a lot of energy into an urban Zen center. And so I think that's what we're going to do, is see about, we're going to kind of take this next year, assuming we get this house, we'd sign a year's lease, and just take this next year and really put a lot of energy into vitalizing the Bay Area Zen Center and, you know, do more workshops down here, take advantage of being able to have really fast internet down here and be able to do a lot of far technology kinds of things and all that. So, so I just, before I hopped on the board call, just got saw that I got an email from the real estate agent who said that they've run our applications and that they'd like to offer us the lease. So they need to email the owners who live in China, but assuming that goes fine, I think we've got ourselves a new home.
Great.
Yeah, it's exciting. So everyone will get to see it when we're here together in February, because we're going to probably move in just before that. So technically our lease ends here on January 31, but we'll have done at least most of our moving before that. So, yeah, that'll be neat.
Is Phil going to live there?
No, no one's going to live there. It's going to be... It's going to be just a Zen center. Now, like Sherry and me especially and other monks will be doing a lot of commuting back and forth to spend time there. You know, Sherry largely, well, Sherry and all of us to offer workshops and things like that down there and to really, you know, help even like to facilitate Tuesday nights and things like that. And increasingly, Sherry and I do a fair amount of business down here around the Africa stuff, so it's kind of, it works well for that, too. So anyone else, any of the other monks, think of anything we left out about that?
I thought just to mention that a number of the local Sangha were contacted, and quite a few of them indicated they'd be really interested in bringing more energy into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's neat that people, hopefully there'll be a wider team of people on board to really make that happen. Okay, so I'm not physically at the monastery. I just wanted to check in with folks. I didn't hear you guys mention Sequoia, Amy, and Michael. Are they there in the meeting?
Nope, good point. Didn't even think of it. Amy's unavailable, we think. Totally didn't think of it. Good point. Melinda's volunteering to go round them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, let's see. Anything else about that before we move on? Okay. So, Bob, do you want to hit the pledges thing? Pledges issue?
Sure. Excuse me. Let's see. I'm trying to figure it out. Well, a lot of our recurring pledges are coming up among their this month when they pay their January pledge. That will fulfill their 1 year pledge. There's almost 100 of our regular, you know, donors who will hit that this month. So we have like a standard email to go out to people just in general when they fulfill their pledges. But we were Jen and I were talking. We were wondering if we need to create something closer to what we're going to have maybe when we do the bigger campaign for these people. So there's some, like, you know, product communication, I guess, around, you know, asking people if, thanking them for their year of pledging and asking if they want to re-up.
Well, yeah. I didn't get the part you said right before you said asking them to re-up. The last few sentences you said broke up for me. Wanting to do a different letter and...
Right, we just need to, like, come up with a communication plan to let these people know that their pledges are just about to fulfill and inviting them to, you know, re-up their pledges, I guess.
Okay.
So, and we want to do that, I would think we want to be really careful isn't quite the right word, but about how we write that letter because, you know, it would be, I project that the vast majority of people who pledge just pick a year because they just pick a year, but they're not really thinking I'm going to pledge a year and then stop. So I would think we want to be really mindful of the language we use to help people see that they're making a really big difference with this and to help them make the choice to continue instead of kind of leaving it as a sort of, so that was good and do you want to end? And yeah, you know what, I think I do want to end, you know, all the things I could do with that extra money every month because that would be a big blow to our income source if suddenly 100 people, you know, didn't. So I would think it's a really good opportunity. I mean, I think this is what Bob is saying. You know, we're going to be putting a lot of energy and attention into bringing more motos in and that kind of thing. And so we'll be communicating with folks then, but we'll need to communicate with these 100 people before, you know, probably before that. You know, as I was saying all that, Bob, what just occurred to me is that this will be relevant in tomorrow's discussion.
Sure.
Yeah. And I wonder if what we might do, in case it doesn't become, an integral part of what we talk about tomorrow, we might want to get a volunteer, someone who's willing to draft something up that would be a letter that would go to people whose pledge is coming due or, you know, about to be fulfilled, but that, you know, we'd hang on to it. We'd sort of put it on pause until tomorrow and see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Because as you were talking, Jen, what I was thinking is that, you know, when as we're actually coming up with that plan for the big, you know, campaign, we actually don't even know yet when that's going to start. And so it's a possibility we could have 2 months' worth of people who are going to be filling their pledges, you know, January and February, and we really want to, like, make sure that, and that could be a bulk of our donors.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So is there anyone who feels inspired to write that letter?
When do you need it by, Jen?
When would we need it by? Let's see. Bob, when would be the first time we'd be sending it out?
Well, normally we send them out, you know, probably within like a week of their most recent pledge. So, you know, we try to send it out a few weeks before their last payment goes through. So we obviously won't be able to do that because that's only 2 weeks away now. But I don't know. I would think at least, you know, it'd be nice to get it to them at least a month before.
Because do people get what Bob's saying? So these are all people who are going to pay their last pledge in January. And if we don't move it through quickly enough and they just, you know, they'll need reminders and all that, then we can't ding their cards in February. And that's potential that income would add up. 100 people times however much money that is would add up. Mm. So we'd want to do it ASAP, I suppose.
I'd give it a crack.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Penny. So do you want to, do you have a reasonable deadline when you might get to it?
By the end of this coming week.
But like a week from now?
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. All right, great. All right. So, good. Was there anything else about that, Bob?
No, I think just, you know, coming out of tomorrow, I think we'll just have a real clear idea of both timeline and also how to keep it moving while you're in Africa.
Yeah, yep, okay. Yep. All right. Okay, so, Marie, you had some items.
Yeah, this is kind of a mixture of just questions. And one is at a follow-up on the publicity committee. And I was doing a lot of projects today, and I wasn't sure. I wanted to verify about emailing the whole group on things like web page changes, that kind of stuff. Should I be copying all of that to the publicity committee or not?
What do people think? I'm already copied on it, so that would be a question for the registration office, for Dave, for Claire, for Rebecca.
The registration office is going to be here in a second.
And what occurs to me is that, for one, I would think it might be useful for Claire to start getting it. Cause
I was just going to say that I would be happy to see everything now.
And for other people, I don't know, maybe it would just be a, you know, it would be a delete. You know, just cruise through and look at it quickly or not. And Marie would, let's see how to say it. So it's sort of like the relationship we're having with me and email while I'm in Africa, which is that I'm getting it, but you're not counting on me getting it. You know, so it's not like, oh, okay, well, Jen's seen it, so So it would be kind of like that, where the publicity team would be getting it, but no one would be counting on the fact that the registration office got it. If there was something in particular about it, you would in some way flag the registration office and say, hey, you know, Sequoia or whatever, we need your take on this.
Yeah, I think that would really work, and yeah, I think it would work good.
Yeah, having that clarified, if I knew kind of, you know, how to be reading those, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think how that would work. How would we get the point across that this is, I mean, I thought we kind of had said that in the body of the email, you know what, I would put the name like Bob or Dave or whoever if it was a question for them. But then
exactly.
I was also thinking about putting it, you know, trying to put really good, clear subject lines so people could see whether it was something that they feel like they want to check in on.
I don't feel like you need to take care of us in that way. Does anyone else?
No, I mean, if you put who you're addressing it to, then I would take from that you're not asking me of anything. But if I saw anything that just glared, I would feel free to respond, I guess. But just the salutation would do it for me.
Okay, that sounds good. Now Sequoia just got here, so should we check this out with her?
We answered it. I think we answered it. Don't other people?
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're set.
Okay. Another quick question is just if something comes up relative to Sherry's events while you're gone, would that be, would the procedure for that be to check in with Dave on that? Like if we needed something from June or Sherry?
So did you have an example come up?
Well, you know, I think most of those events are going to get taken care of unless there was, like, the Palo Alto event and we needed a write-up or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that right off the top of my head. I mean, definitely, yes. you want to bring someone in the loop. And so if you're emailing with the home team, then Dave would be the person. And if it's a detail that June might know, you could check in with June. And Dave can help with the, you know, and Sequoia's getting pretty dialed into this too. If it's heading in the direction of we're about to communicate with someone at a venue that Sherry's going to be using, or we're making a decision about an event, then obviously you're going to need to communicate with Sherry in some form.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not usually in on that end of it. I'm usually just trying to get the information for the web would be why I would need to know.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds...
Well, and if there were some kind of communication with the venue, I would want to be in on that too, because I often am communicating with those people as well.
Yeah, and again, when I say, you know, bring Dave in the loop, that's via emailing the whole publicity team. And that's a good point that Rebecca makes. So if you're you need something about an event with Sherry, in the body of the email, I would say, you know, Rebecca, Dave, blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Again, that brings up a good point. I can't remember if it was on the agenda to talk about how it's going to be while you're gone. This the same conversation we had with the publicity team the other day.
Okay, yeah, in case it ends up being relevant to anyone else. What we're doing is slightly different than what we did when I was away in August, which is I'm still going to be on all the email lists. I'm still going to get all the email, but people are going to assume I'm not seeing it. And so if there's something that needs to be brought to my attention, then it will be sent back through in specific. You guys will say, hey, Jen, we want your take on this. And but first, you know, wouldn't, and I think this goes without saying, but it would first go back through to, like, we use the example of the publicity team. If the publicity team is working on something and they feel like, oh, it would be really good to get Jen's take on this, then they'll discuss that amongst themselves and then email me instead of just one random person on the publicity team deciding to send it through to me. All right. Marie, did you have other things?
Yeah, just a couple more. One is just there's two ads that Bob and I have in the works. One we were trying to get out today, and we just need a final okay on it, and then there's one for either tomorrow or Saturday that we'll need an okay on, just so you know.
And Dave, were you going to look at those?
I can certainly do that. How are they? Tell me how they're marked so I can look for them. I've got a lot of email right now I haven't dealt with.
Does that go to Dave, Bob, the email tab?
Yeah, you should be on that list. They should look like emails from Living Compassion. One would say Practice Opportunities with Sherry Huber, and I'm blanking on the other one.
The other one's the Working Meditation Retreat at the Monastery.
If we need it in the next couple of days, probably what I'll do is I'll bring my computer tomorrow and then open it up and get somebody to help me find it. And then
sounds like one of them they need today.
One's for today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Marie just came up with a solution. Yeah, actually, if you wouldn't mind doing that with both of them, we could just knock them out.
Okay, and then just a reminder about the email class that we need the dates and registration information. I was planning to send an ad out Monday about that.
And has the registration team heard back from June or Sherry?
I just got an email from June just a couple of minutes ago, and she said it is correct. It's $100, and it goes from February 1st to February 28th, and she thanks us very much for taking it. So it can go.
Great. Let's see what else. The only thing left is I just wondered if there's anything we need to do to prepare for the meeting tomorrow.
I don't think so. And people are aware that it's not like a board meeting, right? But I mean, it's a board meeting, and that the whole board is invited to it. But it's not like a agenda, blah blah, that kind of thing. We got one big agenda item, basically, to look at how all these different pieces fit together. People know that, yeah?
I don't guess I was clear on that.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, Rebecca, that's a good point. When I saw your email, I realized I hadn't actually been thinking we were going to we were going to conference call this.
Okay.
I just hadn't thought about it. We could. Although I will want to get, is there anyone else besides Rebecca who was thinking to participate from afar? Okay. Because
I was only able to participate if it's after my work hours, actually. So.
Right.
So that's why I was wanting the hours of your, what the hours, I thought it was a board meeting.
Okay, no, it's more like Tina's going to be there, and actually I think Brian, Sherry's grandson, is going to come, hopefully. But it's more kind of looking at the big picture of all this stuff. And in specific, I think in reality it's going to come down to largely fundraising. How does the Moto and the Practice Everywhere and the International Fundraiser Day, and how do all these pieces fit together as kind of one vision?
I remember that now.
I think the meeting's going to end by probably 3:30-ish.
Oh, okay. Then I wouldn't really be able to participate anyway. So.
Okay.
Jen, this is Cameron. Is the meeting at Waverly Street?
It is, yep.
Okay. And what time does it start?
10 o'clock.
Okay, good.
All right. Marie, other things?
That's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Dave, you had an issue with thank yous?
Well, Sequoia's here, actually, and she could bring it up for us. Sequoia's the issue of Ilona Fried and those thank yous. Remember?
We got an email from a person who is getting 3 emails a month, and she her request was to have them combined into just one email. And Bob, are you on the call? Is Bob?
Yes, I am.
You sent an email back about that, and I have to say I don't remember exactly what you said about bringing it to the board, but you did want to bring the issue up. Could you clarify that?
Yeah, so I think so. I believe what she was referring to was, you know, could she just get one email that combines all 3 of her donations once a month? And what I had said in response is that I think for people who sort of understand that, maybe that would work out really well. But I was wondering whether we would create some confusion if someone makes, say, 3 or 4 kind of donations, maybe one recurring one just because they took some class or whatever, and they did some other donation. And then we send them a receipt once a month for $133.
Yeah, I already know. Yeah. I definitely do not think we should create a new system because one person has a problem with it. Is there some way that she in specific can get that thing, but not everyone else changes?
Well, it creates kind of one of those exceptions for us, but then because something for someone may need to track.
Let me throw in a piece of information. As I recall the email, she asked if she could do that, and if that wasn't possible, she'd prefer not to receive any emails. So that might just be the solution. Not to receive any thank you emails, rather.
I'm not sure that's straightforward either, is it, Bob?
That's something we could do. It would just be automated. And then we just have to communicate really clear with her. She would just receive her year-end receipt from us, and that's all she would get once a year.
Okay, and it wouldn't take her off the regular email list. There's just some way to check a thing, and she just doesn't get her donation thank you.
Right.
Right. And, you know, obviously we'd explain to her, unfortunately, you know, it's the whole, we're a small group of people doing a number of things, and this would be something we'd have to track, you know, separately, and it's, you know, creates work for someone.
Right.
Yep.
It's quite making notes.
And obviously she's a donor. We're giving us 3 donations a month, so we'll want to say it delicately. You know, perhaps in the future when the technology is better and there's a way to, you know, individualize things more, you know, we hope, blah, 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 but, you know, stuff like that. Okay. Does that take care of that?
No.
Okay. Claire, there were some open air items.
Hi, Jen. I'm here on the call.
Michael?
Okay. So I was wondering, we talked earlier about doing that appreciation show for Sherry while she was away.
Right.
And I was wondering if we wanted to do that on January 19th or 26th, if Sherry's going to be in Africa on those dates, or if we want to do that later on.
What do people think?
Well, it does seem like an ideal time to do it. We'd have to put it out to everybody. But as long as we could do that in a way that wouldn't make us crazy, then I think we could do it.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'd send an email to the whole Sangha, huh?
Yeah, I've just started drafting one on that topic.
Did you say you're drafting an email on that topic, Michael?
Yes, yeah, I just started drafting one.
Right.
Now, when
maybe
I look
the
at
20, the... maybe it's better than to give us a little lead time to deal with email and then get it out to Sangha.
Yeah.
So when I look at 26, it seems like you guys might be back, huh, Jen?
Well, yeah, Sherry lands the day after us, but it is risky. That's true. I can't imagine she'll facilitate that night, but she could surprise us.
So would the 19th be a better option?
I think it would. In which
just
case,
it seems like it's a matter of a simple email to people. That might not be too hard. We could do it early next week, send it early next week, and that would give people a whole week to plan to be there.
Yeah, she said on the last show that she thinks she can do the one for next Tuesday, which is the 12th. And she said she was taking a red eye that night. So one idea is to send it Wednesday morning, just maybe I'm paranoid, but just so that nothing splits out accidentally on the show or to her or like that.
Michael, it's really hard to hear you, at least for me. It's like almost like maybe you're talking too close to the phone or something. It's like computerized or something. I can't describe it. But so you were saying maybe to put the word out the Wednesday after the show so that it doesn't leak on the show. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Yeah. Do I sound any better now?
A little bit. Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was my idea, was to send it out Wednesday morning. I guess that'd be January 13th. And I could send the draft around to the board.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense to me. And then I would think you'd want to send a reminder the day of that show also.
Okay, sure. Sure. I could probably get that out either tomorrow or Monday to the board and include a draft of the reminder too.
And there's something to watch for in terms of not CCing Sherry. Something happened not that long ago where we sent her an email she wasn't supposed to see.
If the emails are flying around with it, we can just be reminding each other and me especially that we need to make sure the list does include Sherry when we send it.
And that would be especially a blessing, I think, to Bob if when people are approving the test, they say, looks good, remember not to send it to Sherry.
Yeah, we'll all take responsibility for it. That's a lot to ask one person.
Yeah.
So I just send it regular to board at Living Compassion, right? Because Sherry's not on that.
Correct.
Okay. Good, so we're planning on January 19th. Yeah, that all sounds good. And the other item I have is a good news update for next Tuesday. Many options, seems like. We could talk about Practice Everywhere again. One thing that occurred to me today is it just feels like practice is just really expanding and booming generally in every direction, and I don't know how to talk about that, and I guess it's my experience because that's what I'm feeling, but I don't know if there's a way to make that tangible or fun or a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm. The other one that came up, because Krista was someone we were potentially asking to do the good news update this last week on Practice Everywhere, and she couldn't do it, but she did say, she said, oh, I thought you were going to ask me to come to be on the show and talk about, what's it called? Radiating imagery, or however she talks about that.
Oh, right. Your liver is radiating love.
Exactly. I don't know if that feels too out there for open air, but I know she'd be happy to do it.
Sounds good to me.
People found it really at the retreat.
You know what we could do? If I don't know if this would be a good idea, but make it a little bit broader, and she could bring that in also, but something like the benefits of movement and awareness practice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Of movement and awareness practice. And should I make reference to the imagery that she was using also?
Yeah, she would love to throw that in. You know, Dave, what occurs to me, if you're willing, is that you could have a conversation with Krista ahead of time.
Okay.
You know, just kind of looking at, this came up for me around the Lakota talking the other night, or it's come up a number of times that I realized that Michael doesn't know it. If he hasn't generated the idea, he doesn't necessarily have the kind of vision, and so he doesn't always know where to lead the interview, kind of. But, like, if Krista really knew what we were going for, then she would, you know what I mean? She'd be able to really speak to that on the interview.
Okay. I mean, I'd be happy to do that. I might as well invite her, too, huh, if I'm talking to her?
Might as well. Yep.
I could, maybe what I'll do is I'll let her know about, invite her to the show, and then we can have the conversation in between now and
yeah.
then if she's available.
Yeah.
And Dave, you'll let me know, you'll get back to me and let me know if she's available.
Yeah, I'll just fire off a text and ask her.
Okay, great. And then once I know, then I can give her the call and info.
Okay,
okay, great.
Good.
That's all I have, Jen.
Rebecca, you wanted to look at the February stuff, like dates and stuff, or?
Yeah, I guess I wasn't, I wonder if I need to be making hotel reservations, and if I need to, if I think we're supposed to sign up for the workshop ourselves, right, online? The Best Year Yet one?
Individual Best Year Yet, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm just trying to make the plans for that. The travel plans are made. I've got those, but the hotel. So do we need to get book hotels, and are we all staying in the same place, or do we know that yet?
We don't really know that yet, actually. Monks, do you have a thought about that right now, or do we need to sit with that, or?
Who, me?
No, I was asking the monks.
Oh,
Melinda and Alex and Dave in particular.
It seems to me that it's a little premature for us to be able to say for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking, I don't doubt we're going to have big competition for hotel rooms, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Think of anything that's happening at the end of January.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, tricky is that we don't really know until a little bit later in January. I mean, we're going to physically be between two places. So how's that going to work, and where are we going to be each day? And if we did need hotel rooms, where physically would we want to get a hotel and all those things?
Okay, well, I can certainly let go of that until later. I just didn't want to kind of be behind
yeah.
on that if we need to be doing it.
Okay, all right. And ask us again, you know, mid-month.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. Great. So Peace Quotes. Our structure is not working for Peace Quotes. So we need to get it going, and then we need, you know, to revisit kind of the longer-term structure. But, we need something in place for reviewing the next, let's say, 5 Peace Quotes, starting with whatever's plan to go out tomorrow. Are they already in some kind of system that they're slotted to go out, or where, in what form are they, Rebecca?
Yeah,
I can just read y'all the one for tomorrow. That's the last one scheduled. And then usually on the weekends, I do the week coming up off of one big list.
Okay, great.
I'd be willing to receive an email like on, you know, Sunday or something and double check them for you, Rebecca, if you want, so they can go out on Monday.
Okay. Well, and that would work great for this upcoming week, but do we want to do one whole list or do we want to do it a week at a time?
We need to have the whole list approved, and then I think it would be good, too, to have a second set of eyes on, like, what's going out Christmas Day, what's going out Thanksgiving Day, what's going out Valentine's, what's going out, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Linda, I really agree, and I wonder about doing a month at a time. One of the things that happened for me was the whole list was a whole lot to try to do in one. I couldn't do it in one sitting, and then I set it aside and unfortunately didn't get back to it. But I wonder if a month at a time would work for Rebecca, and that way we could be looking at Valentine's Day and those on a month-by-month basis, or if folks feel that's too,
it could be a week time if we wanted to, you know, if that's kind of Rebecca's routine, because then we would be really focused on it. It's true, when you get very many of them, it's because, you know, if you're really going to look at it on the level of practice, you have to look at it really good. And, if we could get in a routine maybe where it doesn't happen on Sunday, you know, just a little bit more ahead, then we could probably do it a week at a time if we wanted to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I did sit down the time we got that whole list and go through it, and there were some that I had some questions about, but I admit that with that many things on it, I didn't look at it as carefully, probably, as it deserved.
Yeah, and I didn't look, and I would be happy to be part of it, especially if it was, you know, a week at a time or a month at a time. That would be very doable.
Okay, but the thing that's coming up is the only way to do it a week at a time or a month at a time is for me to select 30 or 5 quotes from a really long list, you know, and it seems like if it were, I really would like to have a long list that has at least seen, that at least a couple of people have seen. You know what I mean? To start with. And then have a second kind of screening of a month or a week at a time would be fabulous. But I wouldn't want to forego the big list screening first.
Because then that has you choosing which ones jump out at you. Is that what you're saying? Although I guess you're doing that anyway. Because even if the whole big list is approved, you're still the one who's choosing, well, which 5 are going to go this week?
Right. So that's why I really want at least somebody else to have seen that big list first, and then let me make the first, or, you know, even if somebody else could help make that first selection, then have everybody review the smaller selection a week at a time, let's say.
And so, Rebecca, why would we need people to do a first screening of the big list? So let's say you've got the big list, and you pull out 5 for a week, or maybe even 6. Each time, like one is the peace quote on the bench or something.
Yeah.
And if one of the 5 gets rejected, and it would have, I think it would have to be, like, it, I would say it would be unanimous. Like, no one is flagged by any of them. If one person is flagged by one, I think it's out. Because if it's flagged by that one person, then it's going to get flagged, then a certain percentage of people are going to have kind of a reaction to it. You know? So anyway,
right.
Let's say all 5 get approved by everyone on the team, then we're good to go. If one of them gets thrown out, then we pull the 6th one off the bench. And then would we really need to have everyone look at that bigger list?
You know, and I don't know if this is the case, but this is my current projection, which is that if I were doing just 5 at a time, I probably would be able to sort of focus more on those five and have a better chance of not having any reject. Does that make
sense? Yeah.
Okay, but like, where are those five at a time coming from?
You. From the big list that you have. And no one has seen, but it doesn't matter that no one's seen them because we have the chance to reject them as they come through. Unless I'm missing something.
So, okay, so let me go through the whole process. So people are sending in quotes all the time. And and I've got this ever-growing list. So I pick six or even maybe seven quotes because I'm thinking that they're, you know, if there's no pre-screening. So these are just the stuff. I mean, I obviously will screen if someone just flags me. Of course, I'll knock it out.
Yeah, exactly. You're the pre-screener. Yep.
I wanted to make sure that wasn't a nope. Okay, so that was a yeah. Okay, so. So then I send seven, let's say, quotes out to the team saying, here are the ones that I'm looking at for this week. Any flags here? And then if nobody flags anything, then I pick from those five and go ahead and schedule them from there. I mean, I pick five of those seven. If any of them get flagged by anybody, they're out forever. And then let's say three of them get flagged by somebody, then I pick another one and do the same process.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, okay, so now I got to think, let's think about the timing of this. Because now that adds a communication step that we'll need to hear back from everybody by.
I got an idea.
Great.
The idea would be just get a week ahead. So next Sunday, maybe if you have time, you could do two sets, and we'll have to rush the first ones through, but after that, we'll be a week ahead. So that'll give us a whole week to communicate about the set that's currently on the table, and then we've got another set. We're always a week ahead.
Yep. And if they went up on the review blog...
Oh, there you go.
That would save... some backing and forthing.
There you go.
I like that idea. Yeah, so I would need to learn how to do that.
And then to be clear, what we're talking about when we're saying, some of them get... What I see about it is we're flagging them if they don't represent our practice, basically. Not if we don't like them or if we don't feel like they're well-written or... something like that, unless those things indicate that they don't represent our practice. But, it's just something that is just not within the realm of what makes sense to us in the way that we look at the world and look at life.
Yeah, and I think it could be any flag. I think I think this is what you're saying, Dave, but it's not well-written because that wouldn't represent us well. Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I suppose there could be an example of one that well, certainly there could be plenty of them that don't move me, but that they're perfectly appropriate.
Yeah. They could move somebody else. We don't know. I mean, if the message is good.
Exactly. But I can't. I'm not seeing one where I would feel like, oh, I don't agree with that message, but it still represents fact. I mean, I think any flag, like, ugh, that's just something about that. Even if I can't say what it is, I think it's out.
Okay.
So if there's any sort of, what did you call it the other day, any sort of twinge or pinch or something, to just better to just throw it out?
I don't know what other people think, but sometimes I have that one that Sherry took off the note board that day at Santa Sabina, I had that reaction to it. I could not have told you why, but I had that reaction,
Yeah. Yeah, because there are sometimes, that's interesting, because there are sometimes that I do have that reaction and I can't put my finger on it, so I think, oh, it's just me, and then can I read you what's going out tomorrow?
Okay.
Okay, here it is. The only real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. By Marcel. Oh, we've had that one?
I just know because it's on my recording.
Oh. Well, I bet it's, shall I look for a different one then?
I don't know. What do people think?
You know that that's where you got it, Jen?
I do know that's where I got it, yeah. They're all Peace Corps, but
Okay. Well, let me see.
I've got one, Rebecca. It's from Peace Pilgrim. I don't eat junk food, and I don't think junk thoughts.
Hang on, let me get where I can actually type that, okay? Or do you, well, hang on a second. So while I'm getting back to this, hold that thought, Alex. While I'm getting back to it, so what I would need to do for this coming week is probably send out a weekend email then, because I don't think I'll be able to get to it tomorrow. So how about is that okay with folks if I send out a weekend email on this one?
Yeah,
people
for next week. Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Okay, so I'll try to do 2 weeks this time, and then we'll do it during the week and not have to do that on the weekend anymore.
Great.
Alex, I'm going to have to just handwrite it. I can't get where I'm needing to. So would you say it again?
I don't eat junk food, and I don't think junk thoughts.
And that's by who?
Peace Pilgrim.
Peace Pilgrim, great. Pilgrim is P-I-L-G-R-I-M, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I have a question about these quotes, a real quick one. I come across things periodically I think would be great. Do we need to get any clearance from people about using their quotes, or we just can send them to Rebecca if they've appeared in a published form somewhere?
I think it's the latter.
As long as we credit them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I was going to say was on the issue of crediting, which I think it works really well to just give the person's name and not do the source. I notice every now and then the source of the quotation appears, and it's like, oh. It's sort of like more information than it feels like is needed with the Peace quote. I don't know if anybody else has that reaction, but
what do you mean by crediting the source? Like who they are? Like this Nobel?
Yeah, like it's from Hoo-Hoo from The Little Prince instead of just Hoo-Hoo.
Oh, okay.
Heads up our process time.
Yeah. So are we set with that process, the Peace Quotes process?
I think so.
All right. So we are about 3 minutes away from transitioning into process. So, Alex, anything quick about Modo recordings, or do we need to come back to it? Or?
I'm not sure how much we want to accomplish before you go to Africa. Like, I'm thinking, you know, to create the platform on the website. I'm going to send a few tests to Bob sometime next week, likely.
That's fine to do while I'm in Africa.
Okay, great. I'll just do that.
That works for other people. And Bob, maybe, you know, you could just be the person to, you know, be in charge of, I mean, watch for not starting to sink a bunch of time into it. You know, so if you see that, I mean, all a conversation, you know, we had with you the other day where, you know, sometimes the organization asks you to do things without realizing that we're asking a huge amount of you. So, you know, if it's straightforward and we're just taking steps to try it all out, great. If it starts to turn into a big project, let's stop and communicate about it.
Okay, I can do that.
I'd like to be copied on that stuff, too, if I could.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Okay, great. So unless there's anything super pressing, I think we're going to transition into our process. Is there anything that is burning that we should address before we do that?
I have a question. When I write this draft, I also have to ask the community to write a draft for the precepts retreat. When I write a draft to the motto letter, do I just send that out to board?
Yes, or do we want to put it in the review blog? I don't know.
I'd have to learn how to do that.
Do people think it's worth doing a little training? Like if Bob and or Marie and or Alex, you know, could train, I mean, I suppose anyone could be on it.
I'm sorry. One thing is it's very straightforward. Bob sent me instructions on how to do it. I think people will need their own passwords and things like that. So that's the only thing that needs to be set up.
Yeah, and I have an email from Marie that's now getting kind of moldy, asking me to review the instructions I sent her so we could allow people to do this. So I guess I need to raise that up. But maybe actually just, you know, in the short term, people could just send it to me and I could post it for them.
Perfect. Whatever seems like it makes sense to you, Bob, seems fine.
Yeah, that would make most sense to me right now.
Okay. Do that then.
And then, Bob, if we send it to you saying, would you post this, then do we send something out to the board saying there's going to be something on the review blog to look at, or do you want to do that as well?
Well, it's easier for me to do it because I can send the direct link, but if you want the email from you with, you know, whatever you want to say about it, I could easily just send you the link and then you can send it on to the board. So whatever people prefer. Maybe when people let me know when they want something posted, they just let me know whether they want me to send the email or they want to do it.
Okay.
Well, Melinda,
we'll move into process. So what we wanted to do is look at the process that we last looked at when we had a board meeting with a process. And I wonder if anybody out there or in here could articulate that.
Well, are you talking about the one we talked about when we were at the in-person board meeting? Or the one on the last one on the phone?
In-person board meeting.
Where we were talking about taking responsibility?
Yes, and around communication and how we do that and how we get tripped up.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak to that, what I remember of the assignment.
Okay.
Well, what I remember was that we were asked to, anytime something unfortunate happened, trace it back to an internal conversation about that.
Mm.
And then to try and catch that internal conversation and see if there are any themes and how that conversation may be connected to major karmic issues.
Yes. Thank you, Claire.
Here's some significant things I remember. How can we learn how to take responsibility for everything in our world? How can we avoid the karma that says, somebody else has got this? Actually, those are the two things I remember right now.
So what have folks been seeing about this?
And even I just wanted to say, in particular, it would be fun to hear if people have seen, you know, real live examples. You know, kind of seeing themselves right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I can talk to that right now.
About the process in the process.
I've seen that, Mrs. Cameron.
Great. Go for it, Cameron.
Well, it was about, it was a very common theme where I did not communicate in the direction that I probably should have because I made the presumption that the person was busy and what they were doing was important and too important for me to you know, try to reach them at that situation. I knew they were busy, and so that's a very common process that this karmic being falls into.
Yeah, so you wind up not communicating because the internal conversation is something along the lines of they're too busy,
mm-hmm.
I might bother them, or I don't
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
going from my own experience, but...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then what winds up happening is that something that needed to be communicated didn't get communicated.
Yeah, or it got communicated in a way that wasn't the proper channels, because the proper channels seemed like they weren't available to the karmic person looking at it.
there were several stories. The person I need to say this to isn't available, and the next best person is busy. And therefore, is that kind of it?
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, there were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of kind of tentacles of information and content involved. So, yeah, but when I looked, I saw that that's kind of the bottom line was this person, I know this person is busy and they're with an important person and they either... You know, either it would be inappropriate for me to interrupt, or they just wouldn't answer the phone anyway if it was me calling in the middle of something.
Yeah,
so
why bother? Yeah, for me, I hear something I hear in what you're saying, Cameron, that certainly in my process is it starts out with, I know this person is busy, and I know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Downhill from there.
Mhm.
Is there more?
No, just that, you know, just that I have seen that particular piece of karma numerous times, and it's still one that I trip into and catches me.
Yeah, it's really familiar, and at the same time, it happens. You find yourself getting into it, even though you see it over and over and over.
It's one of those things that seems like is more readily the insight is more readily available after the fact.
Yeah, we call it 20/20 hindsight.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who else? I can go. This is Penny.
Oh,
Penny.
So the live example is the email today from Jen saying that the piece quote process wasn't working, and I'm aware that sitting on my computer from way back is that list of quotes that Rebecca sent, and what happened was, when that came through, it was like, oh, that's a big thing. I'll put it off and go through the rest of my emails and come back to it. And then I can't remember is whether I didn't remember to come back or did essentially the same process again when it was time to come back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's a big one, and I'll put it off. But it sounds like sort of the operative glitch was I'll put it off.
Well, yeah, and there's also a whole thing I do around the computer. I turn it on, and I'm almost instantly overwhelmed. I mean, I'm almost overwhelmed before I turn it on. It's an attitude I have. It's a posture I have about the computer, that it's too much. It invades my life. It overwhelms me. And it's a whole story I am in about the computer that it would be very helpful for me to drop.
Yeah, because what I'm hearing is you walk in, you haven't even turned the computer on, and you're in a place of, I don't want to deal.
Yeah, I'm in the place of, oh, God, here they come, you know. And indeed, I often have quite a few emails. But I get into a victim role with the computer. That is, it's funny because I don't get into it with other kinds of tasks or necessarily with other kinds of input, but the computer I do, and I'm not quite sure what that posture is about, but it's becoming a very familiar one.
Yeah, it's like there's a new verb being created. I'm being emailed, and I can't stand it, or something like that.
That's right. And it, you know, I'm thinking of Landmark. It's a kind of racket I run with the computer. And again, I'm not sure quite where it comes from, but it's really clearly something to look at.
Yeah, and that conditioning has got you set up with a posture, as you say, and a particular way of responding that you're seeing doesn't work.
Right.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, thanks, Penny.
I'll go.
Okay, Rebecca and then Sequoia. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Well, I'm seeing a lot about this, that email too, about the whole Peace Quotes thing. And what I saw is that you know, the first time I heard someone say, I'll volunteer to be the nag for that, or nag, you know, you can nag us for that, and people using that word nag, there was a part of me that was kind of like relieved that, oh my gosh, these people like to be nagged, you know. But then I saw that there was this deep, deep distrust of that it is really not okay to nag. You cannot.
They don't use it.
It's really not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see myself get really small and. And really scared of a reaction to the nag.
Ah, so at first your reaction was to be relieved that it's really going to be okay to nag, and then enter a different part of you, it sounds like, who didn't trust that at all and felt really, really small and scared at the prospect.
Yeah, and so what comes in when that distrust is there is,
uh-huh.
Well, that I've just got to do this. I've got to handle it myself then, because I can't really ask.
Mm-hmm. Because somehow it's not okay, because asking would be nagging, and nagging is wrong, and so I have to handle it all myself.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because I've seen that conversation going on as I was sitting, you know, I would be sitting at the computer, and it happens with my stuff with Sherry too, you know, when I need to ask her questions or whatever, and there's always, or almost always, this element of a fear, in, you know, that goes with what gets labeled as nagging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I felt it strongly in my third chakra, right? You know, all afternoon after getting that email today, it felt like a rock right in my third chakra, and I could just see myself shrink.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So when you got the email that went out about the Peace Quote situation, you watched a third chakra big reaction and a shrinking.
Yeah, and there was this one part that was, what it said was, oh my God, there is this whole other way that I fall asleep that I didn't even know I fell asleep this way. And it felt very kind of depressed and a little hopeless, that there's this whole other piece of karma, it's not even like, I know I fall asleep, but this is more like a whole nother way I fall asleep, you know?
Yeah.
That I haven't seen before.
Right, and so far the reaction is, oh my God, this whole big thing that I haven't seen before. And so someone is, sounds like maybe taking it a little bit personally.
Yeah, and I was able to step out and say, okay, so if nothing were wrong, how might I be looking at this? You know, if I got out and said, if nothing's wrong, what is another way to look at this?
What a great question.
Yeah, it was, and so I moved to the side of that little kind of depressed place, and I saw that that this can call me, to a to a bigger place.
Yeah. That's really huge.
And I could hear, you know, I was watching myself watch the tones of voices on the call tonight. I could see that part of me that was just listening for the anger.
Yeah.
And you know, there was this part that was just expecting someone's voice to be angry about this. And when it wasn't there, it felt very very safe and very happy.
Yeah, somebody was scanning for that, and it's really interesting because I would project that's the same or certainly akin to the one who didn't want to nag.
Oh yeah, definitely the same one, because that's what she's always watching for, is the quote grown up that's going to yell at her, you know.
Yep. Going to tell her she's done it all wrong, blah 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 blah, and sets her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Sets her up.
Yeah.
Says, okay, you can come to me, tell me whatever you, and then yell better. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so a lot to see in all of that.
Tons.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm,
Melinda,
thank you.
Can I jump in for one sec, just to underline one thing? Which was so, first of all, Claire's little summary I thought of what we covered in the last board meeting was just spot on. And, I mean, Rebecca just articulated it perfectly. That was so perfect. And how that piece that Claire was reminding us about, how does the conversation actually create the karma? And that was such a good example of it. So I get talked out of, in this case, nagging, in quotes, because I'm going to make people mad.
Exactly.
And then get put right in that place, and it's just, oh God, I just saw when Rebecca was talking how evil that system is. It's so not got our best interest at heart.
Yeah, it's got strictly its own interest.
Yeah, and how it's just so points why we need to stick together as a team, you know, because we're the ones that are going to support each other. Conditioning is the one that's going to drag us into all kinds of trouble. But when we stick together, you know, especially when we're not sure or we're not, you know, whatever, or just bring it to the team, you know, because we're what's safe.
Yeah, which really assists the person bringing it to the team and all of the people on the team who share the karma.
Exactly.
Or even not.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I just, in what every single person has said so far, I can see so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Sequoia.
Well, just in the conversation tonight, I've been looking at, I have a lot of karma around whatever anybody else is doing is more important than what, you know, is up for me, and really difficult to interrupt or ask for what I need. And I've been watching that when someone takes the time to tell me what I'm to do, immediately there starts to be a conversation about how I'm not going to get it all. That I'm not going to understand it, that, you know, a really young part of me starts hearing this thing about how she's not going to be able to take in the information. And I see how this just creates this, what happens is I don't take the information in and end up having to ask for more information. And the whole process ends up taking a whole lot longer, and it just supports the information that she's getting in to begin with, that she's not going to get it, and that she's not, you know, she's not smart enough, and all of that. So just watching how that happens.
Yeah, so sort of the same thing, seeing how the conversation is what leads, the karmic conversation leads into the karmic not taking in the information that you've been told you're not going to take in, and it keeps telling you you're not going to take it in to make sure that you can't. Yeah, and seeing that process.
No, I think that's about it. But just, you know, just really seeing for the first time how that really leads to a whole lot of suffering. And, yeah.
I'd say all of these are little blueprints for suffering that conditioning has managed to sort of stamp onto us. Get to see it.
Do we get to say amen of each of these, Melinda?
Pardon?
I said, do we get to say amen at the end of each of these?
Yeah.
As an aside, I'm very glad we're recording this because this is very good for our communication book that we'll be writing.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just say, this is Cameron again, I don't want to take too much time because I already talked. That just clicked so much about how it actually makes what it makes it happen. Because it's saying what's going to happen if blah, 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 and then it happens because you're listening to it.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what comes up for me, too, is the self-hate trap.
Yeah.
All that, you know, whatever it is, I can't communicate because X, you know, that's, you know, and then there's that dread. That's what I look at for myself. The dread, because the dread is, I know there's a beating coming. You know, the story says the dread is what the other person is going to do, but it's not. The dread is because I know that, you know, on some level, or conditioning knows that there's this process happening and it's leading towards feeling bad someplace.
And the dread actually creates an energy that makes it impossible to be really centered and be present. I mean, because it's just, it's like it makes you distracted, and so then you do mess up.
Yep, yep, that's the plan.
Hi, this is Michael.
Hi, Michael. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing that I'm really, really grateful for these conversations. They're just amazing.
Mm.
And, amen. Amen. And what I see on a process level is kind of a continually trying to be, quote, safe, unquote, or be okay.
Yeah.
And it's very
and believing that that's possible.
Believing that that's possible. And then once somebody has determined that I'm, quote, okay, or, you know, quote, safe, then I can kind of coast, which means go to sleep.
So a lot of strategizing about how to be safe or how to be okay, and then there's an interpretation of things being safe or being okay, and you can just, it sounds like, go to sleep.
Right, right. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I've taken care of my area, I've done my part, and, you know, now I can, of course, I'm still attentive, but on some level there's kind of a tuning out, or the image that's coming to mind is that instead of a kind of expansive picture, the picture has been kind of, the edges of it have kind of been brought in a bit so that it's smaller.
Yeah, and I'm hearing in what you're saying that it's very much a separate me who's working this.
Yeah, I hadn't really seen that. And it's kind of that's kind of the go to sleep point is when I feel like I'm, quote, okay. It seems like that's when, you know, I stop looking or stop paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that can be said probably by all of us in one way or another, that we get to that place where we think, ah, okay, I've got it made. And
yeah.
We fail to see the hole that's looming in front of our next step.
Yes, yes. And I had an experience recently where I felt like I was hit by a freight train.
Uh-huh.
Just didn't see any of it coming, big, you know, missed the whole deal. And I'm really grateful for it on some level because it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still here and
mm-hmm.
I'm still practicing. And the information that life gave me and practice gave me didn't come with any judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was information.
It was information. It was really just like, you know, an encouragement to look and see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a kind way to get information.
Yes. Yeah. Unlike the way that conditioning usually delivers information.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it's delivered that way, it turns into, you know, something bad that there's no real way to kind of look at or process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I was just seeing that with that kindness, with the kindness of delivering the information, it's something being done for us rather than to us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I have a lot of gratitude for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, another Michael.
I'm looking at take one way of thinking of taking responsibility for me is participating fully, and how to do that and not be having a really young part being participating fully. And the content example is like if there was someone asked for a peace quote. Does anyone have a peace quote? I'm not sure if that's exactly what happened, but it seemed like there was a chance to offer one. Immediately, I had one. And if at 4 points in the meeting that happened, each of the 4 times I would have one. So it's like, and so I don't, it doesn't seem like that. So the thing is, I always have something to offer when this is going, which it is a lot in this type of thing. And that doesn't seem like a place of contribution and participating fully in a adult way necessarily, because if I'm really doing that, it's not always like that. It's it happens in appropriate times and appropriate, yeah. And I don't have to be censoring myself.
So it sounds like there's something about the four different points in the conversation when something arose that you realized you could contribute. There's something about that seems like it's not appropriate. It's too young, if I'm understanding you. It's the wrong person, and that's in quotation, wrong person wanting to participate.
Whenever someone's looking for a way to do something, I always have a way to do it. And so I find it's like, wow, you had a way this time, you had a way this time, and now I'm listening to the you voice. Yeah. But at the same time, there is a censoring that goes on, and that if it didn't go on, there would be times where I would just be, have my hand up all the time, constantly. And that's sort of me a flag that something's going on.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a really interesting process to continue to watch, because somebody in there is making decisions about when it's okay and when it's not, and when it's wanting to share too much, and that there's a process within a process that's affecting your participation. Okay, thank you, Michael. Anybody else? Yeah, is that Bob?
Yeah. Well, what I've been looking at this, one of the things I'm looking at this week is really seeing what the choice is in life, like what, you know, what my heart wants versus what conditioning might want to draw me to.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because I've just been adding some content pieces, I've been editing a corporate employee handbook. And I haven't worked for a corporation for like 10 years now. It's kind of brought back into that whole world of like, you know, reward and punishment.
Oh, and a corporate employee handbook, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's the reward and punishment world.
Yeah. But what I was seeing is that, you know, how fortunate I feel to be part of this group of people in this organization, because, you know, it's a completely different world. That's really just, it isn't about any of that. And it's about just trying to support each one of us as we're all moving toward the same thing. And the thing that that really keeps occurring to me is, like, that's all great, but unless I'm paying attention, you know, what I'm not doing is I'm not making that choice for myself over and over again.
You're not making the choice to turn away from reward and punishment and turn toward kindness.
Right. And all that's offered. Like, there's, it
yeah.
just seems like there's so much possibility and so much support that's available.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it really needs to be a choice made almost in the moment to turn toward that.
Yeah, an active going toward what's possible.
Right.
And it sounds kind of neat to be, this is projection, of course, to be having that contrast of the employee handbook and our board meetings or our working through our individual / collective processes to have that.
It was neat, but it was also that I could just see my energy drop as I was reading this thing.
Yeah,
just not you know, like, just almost like I just felt like I was not being a place I wanted to be and really wanting to make the other choice.
Yeah. Would that we could rewrite those handbooks for all the corporations that
yeah.
and teach what we're learning.
Right.
Is there more?
I think that's it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Bob. I think we're just about out of time, unless there's anybody else who hasn't had a chance to share yet and would really like to.
Is Claire?
Claire, yes.
I just but I've been seeing over again my karmic place of I'm going to get in trouble, and how that stops me from communicating effectively if I think I'm going to get in trouble, and then I get in trouble because the communication hasn't gone well.
There it is again, huh?
Indeed. And I even notice that I see things through the lens of I am in trouble when there's no real information coming that that I am in trouble.
Yes.
But you know, it's there all the time, even when there's no evidence for it.
Yep. I live in trouble.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, which is I would imagine a real, and I do experience, an effective way of keeping me from being able to see what would keep out of trouble, not in that language, but to see what's there in the moment to do, which would ultimately wind up with me probably not getting in trouble, within trouble in quotations.
That's right. Yes, that I'm really out of the moment and not able to see what really would be most effective to do. That's
yep.
right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And just how it just continues to keep me small too, and yeah, not speaking up from a centered place.
Yes. Yeah. And in trouble, it's such an interesting sort of phenomenon, because I think to some extent, greater or lesser extent, we all experience it, but we never follow through with exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's just, I'm in trouble, and sort of parenthetically, therefore, I may die. But we never look at it in that detail. Just, I'm
right.
going to get full and...
there is a small part of me that does come from that place of, you know, it's a survival issue if I'm really in big trouble. And
yeah.
And if I don't take care of her, then that fear really runs the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And how I notice that if I start getting defensive, then I know that I'm going down that road. So when I'm being defensive, that's a real flag that, you know, I'm going to be in trouble is back there.
Yeah, I didn't do it. What makes you think?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's really handy, isn't it, to have that flag, any kind of flag that wakes us up to, okay, I've got one foot on the slippery slope, and I think I better back up here and take care of somebody.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. I think that's our time. And
Melinda?
Yes, Jen.
I just wanted to say, this is so obvious, but what a pleasure it is to be in community with this group of people.
Isn't it incredible?
Amen.
Luckiest people on the planet.
Yep.
So big thank you to everyone for just so much willingness.
Amen.
Thank you. And can I ask if we can get a link call? I'd love to listen to this conversation again.
No kidding. Over and over.
We'll be transcribing it at some point.
Yeah. We can thank Phil for not being on the call tonight.
And we got it recorded, yeah. We'll
exactly.
ask her next time.
Exactly.
Jen, is there anything about next meeting scheduled? Oh, I think we're meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah, we're meeting tomorrow. We'll see you all in the morning.
10 o'clock. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Bye.